You're listening to Finding Direction, where we help people who feel lost find direction in their life. We interview the most passionate and fulfilled people and reverse engineer their life to uncover how they found direction. In doing so, we uncover strategies, tactics, and actionable steps you can apply to live a life of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I'm your host, Stu Massengill, and thanks for listening in. How's it going, my friend? Welcome back to the Finding Direction podcast. This week, we're sitting down with Amy McNee. And a little bit about Amy McNee. She is a creative. She's a speaker, an author, a book doula, and also a coach. And some of the things we dive into on this episode is why you might be pigeonholing yourself as you pursue your next level of success. This is a really, really, really big roadblock that we can inflict on ourselves if we're not aware of it. So we dive into what exactly that thing is that you might be pigeonholing yourself in. We also talk about how can you take the next step as a creative. If you're someone who is creating things to share it with the world and connect with other people, how you can sort of take the next step there. And also how you can deal with this thing called perfectionism. All right, again, one of the biggest roadblocks you can set on yourself is perfectionism, and we're going to talk all about why it comes up and, more importantly, how you can walk through that. So if you are someone who you feel like you're creative, you're someone who feels maybe like the corporate world has just never felt like the right fit, or you're someone who's looking to take your success to the next level, this episode is absolutely for you. And if you are new here on the Finding Direction podcast, make sure you subscribe so we can bring you new episodes every single week. All right, my friends, let's dive in. And here is Amy McNee. Amy McNee, welcome to the show all the way from Australia. Thanks for being here with us.
Thank you for having me, Stu. I'm excited to dive in.
Absolutely. And so as we kick this thing off, I was wondering if you could kind of give everybody a little bit of a background just as far as kind of who you are, what you do, and just kind of fill us in from there.
Of course. So I'm an author and a book doula and a creativity coach. So I write my own novels. I'm a historical fiction writer, but I also support creatives of all kinds, artists of all kinds, entrepreneurs of all kinds, as we move and navigate, you know, what can be a really challenging journey because we're breaking out from what is normally expected from us. We are choosing to go on a road that is, you know, not often ventured, and we need support. And I felt that I desperately needed support as I decided to chase my art and to chase my creativity. And I felt very alone in it all. So I decided to kind of become the person that I needed the most. And so now I support and love and witness creatives and entrepreneurs like leading, you know, the brave and wild life.
Yeah, it's a journey.
It is a journey.
The ups, the downs. So
yeah,
if we go back a little bit in your life, fill us in as far as, you know, you go to university, you're out in Australia, and you graduate with a history degree, a sort of unique history degree. And if you could kind of fill us in a little bit as far as like, you know, what'd you go to school for? And then ultimately, as you left, kind of what did that process look like? Because from my understanding, it wasn't, you graduated and everything worked out. It was you know, kind of a little rocky road.
Yeah. It definitely wasn't a clear path, and it was a lot of confusion and pain, honestly. And I think that's why the podcast like Finding Direction is so important, because finding our direction can be so hard. So after university, so I did do a rather unique degree. I majored in history and English, but history predominantly, and I specialized in like basically sex culture in medieval times. So I specialized in sex work, in like medieval pornography, in medieval sex culture. And I've used a lot of that to write my historical fiction novels. Like so many stories, absolutely bizarre time of history, like just incredibly rich with wild and wonderful stories. So I knew what I wanted to, I wanted to write stories. Like I've known this since I was little. I wanted to tell stories. And so I went into that history degree searching for the juiciest, wildest stories, and I found them. But as I left university and I realized, you know, everybody was telling me, oh, you can't make money writing books. You know, you'll never make it. Publishers, you know, only take the very few, you're just never going to be able to do it. And I was bombarded with all of this cultural narrative about how the creatives are always going to be poor, about how you can't, you know, live the life of your dreams. That's childish, that's foolish. You need to settle down, you need to get a proper stable job, and just kind of lead the mediocre but moral life. And I was very impacted by this. And I had these huge narratives going on in my mind that I was lazy, that I was childlike, that I was foolish and naive for wanting to chase this creative life that I had felt called for my, like essentially since I was a child, like I always knew I wanted to be a storyteller. Yeah. And I started becoming very depressed because I felt like even though I knew what I wanted, I felt so much shame around what I wanted. I thought it was so embarrassing that I wanted to live a life of play, of art, of creating. Yeah. And so I started doing a lot of what I call muggle jobs, like the non-magical muggle jobs. I was an executive assistant in a financial advising firm for like 8 months. Then I jumped into being a personal trainer. I was a nanny. I did a huge amount of waitressing and I was jumping from job to job and I hated it. I hated it, Stu. And I felt so much guilt for hating it because I was like, what's wrong with me? And I was looking at all of my friends who were settling into their, you know, normal jobs, normal, you know, they're 9 to 5 and they, I was like, they don't seem to be in as much pain as I'm in. Like, why can't I just do the normal adult thing? Like, what's wrong with me? Like, have I not developed right? Like, am I still a child? Like, why can't I just do a boring normal job and just be content with it? But I kept bouncing off these jobs. I couldn't stay in these jobs for longer than, I think the longest one I managed was like 9 months. I had to change and I changed tack. And all the while through doing this, I was still telling my stories. I was still writing my books on, along the side. I was still submitting to publishers and getting rejected. And these stories kept developing. Creatives never make it. You know, you're going to be poor for the rest of your life if you choose to go down that route. You have to find a job that's stable. And then I hit a real low point. And I had my book picked up by a publisher, but then they dropped it last minute. And I lost my job as a waitress. I was in tens of thousands of dollars worth of credit card debt. I had to move in with my in-laws and I had nothing to do. And so every day I was like, okay, I'm just going to try and do one thing. And that was, I'm going to try and start a journaling practice. And while that was the bottom, like I was very deeply depressed and I kind of hated myself for wanting to live a creative life. I thought it was just so shameful. But as I began this journaling practice, everything started to change and turn around for me. And that is really that pivot point in my life.
Yeah. Man, what a journey. And I think it's, I mean, for anyone that's listening to this that feels like they're in that, you know, identity of being a creative, I think it's a really powerful thing to hear from you, someone who's like living a successful life as a creative now, that you shouldn't feel shame around it, right? That you shouldn't feel this, like, what's wrong with me almost, which it could can be a very normal thing to feel, right? Like, you're like, well, everybody else wants to go get a job and everybody else is doing this thing. And it's just like, in your soul, it's like, this is not for you. And I think it's interesting that like in your soul, it's known what you're supposed to do, right? And it'll continue to push you and move you. And I just think a beautiful message for anybody going down that same journey, who's maybe a little bit more in the mix right now, to just get reminded. It's like, hey, you're not alone. It's okay. You don't need to feel like you need to be, what do they say? Like a square hole, a square peg fitting in a circle hole or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you can design your own life.
I think that's, you know, what I discovered. And now it's all that I want to teach. And I just want to sit with anyone who is desperately trying to find direction, who is desperately in this, you know, these shame spirals of, I know what I want to do. And it's not what is expected of me. That I see you and I see the pain of this journey of being someone who is standing against what is expected of you, who, you know, who wants something different than what is expected of you. It's incredibly painful. And you're, you know, you're almost like, I see it as being a revolutionary, you know, you're going against the grain, you're standing against what is expected of you. You're saying, I want more than a mediocre life. I want to create, I want to chase what my heart has been called for. And it can be an incredibly lonely journey, but I really, like, I feel like a huge part of what I'm here to do on this earth is to make sure that there's no shame there. Like, it is not shameful to seek a life that you love. It is not shameful to seek, you know, what it is you want to do. And I think there's a Julia Cameron quote that just stuck with me and kind of, you know, really helped me do this big pivot when I lost everything.
Yeah.
And it's, what you really want to do is what you're really meant to do. And You know, I just felt so much shame around having this huge desire to live an enchanted and creative life. And it was so culturally inherited from the world that we live in. And it was so undeserved. And if you have, you know, these creative callings or these entrepreneurial callings or callings to do something that's against the grain, I see you and I'm so proud of you. And it is not shameful. Mm. It is brave and vulnerable and generous to chase it. And we need you. We need you, you know, doing the bold and brave thing and chasing that creative calling.
Let's go. I love it. I'm ready to throw my computer, Amy. That was beautiful. So let's say we have someone listening to this and they're going, okay, like I really resonate with that. I just don't, you know, I just never felt like I was in the right place chasing some of these, you know, like societal rules and societal expectations. And they're feeling like they really want to, you know, step into that creative part of themselves that they have.
Yeah.
Like, what's a piece of advice you'd give to someone who, you know, feels like they're creative and they don't really feel like they belong in like the societal view of what they're supposed to do? Yeah. Like what advice would you give them on a few steps they could start taking?
Yeah, I think something that really helped me and that was keeping me really small for a long time. So I've been, submitting to traditional publishers. I was really trying to go the correct way. And I think an inheritance from these cultural stories about what it means to be an artist was that, oh, if I'm going to dare to be a creative, I've got to do it the correct way. So I was like, I've got to do it the traditional way. I've got to go through publishing houses. I've got to do it like the way that it, like most people do it. But for creatives, I think a lot of us feel stuck and we don't know what to do because we feel like there's only one way to be creative. Mm. We have to go through all the regular gatekeepers. And when I say gatekeepers, I'm talking about like, if you're in music, you know, go through the producers. If you're an actor, you know, you have to go get your casting agent and you have to go to LA. Like there's all this, a right way to be a creative. And that right way we're taught is to be picked by someone. And I just want to remind us, if you're a creative and you're sitting here and thinking, I don't know what to do next, is that you don't have to be picked by anyone, that there are actually thousands of opportunities for you to do whatever creative magic you want. And you don't need anyone to like anoint you or pick you to be the creative and to be allowed to create. You can pick yourself. And I think for me, I for so long thought there was only one passage for me to be a writer, which was to be picked by a publisher and they would publish my books. And that's how I would make money and be an author. Yeah. And it kept me very closed-minded and it kept me very stuck. And so I think a lot of creatives feel like there's only one way to make impact, and that's by going these traditional routes. And I think when I sat back and realized that there are actually thousands and thousands of ways to make impact, especially in today, you know, with the connection economy, with the internet, we have so many ways to make impact. My eyes were just open to like all these opportunities and all these ways of taking up space that I had for some reason completely blocked out for years and years and years. And so I think when a lot of creatives are lost and we don't know how we want to take up space, we don't know what we want to do. I think we're often focusing too narrow and we're thinking, well, if I want to act, then I need an agent, then I need someone to pick me for their films. Where in reality, there are so many other ways to take up space as an actor, as storytellers that don't require these traditional, very narrow, very scarcity-based paths. And so if you're feeling a little lost and confused, first of all, it's really valid and a totally normal part of the creative process. And it's not bad. It doesn't mean you're on the wrong path. It doesn't mean that something's wrong with you. Like confusion and unknowing is an integral and almost holy part of being a creative and entrepreneur. Like we have to move through it. But I would encourage you to sit back and think, am I putting too many rules on myself as to how I'm going to make it? Can I pull back those rules? Can I recognize that there are so many more paths for me right now that are available that perhaps I've been ignoring? And that for me was the changing point. So when I started journaling, I started realizing that I thought there was only one way for me to make it. And I was just absolute cock blocking myself. I was in my own way. Like I was literally, I thought that the enemy was the world against me. And, you know, there are some really difficult things about being a creative. And often we can feel like the world really doesn't support us. And that is valid. But in actual fact, it was me in my own way because I was so like focused on one way of doing something. So if you're feeling lost, I just want you to like kind of open your perspective in terms of how many ways you can make impact. There's so many.
What's up, my friends? It's Stu, and I have big news. After interviewing hundreds of people on their journey in life and experiencing my own journey to a life full of fulfillment and passion, I finally put together a special guide just for you. And it's called 3 Steps to Finding Direction in Under 10 Minutes. And you can go grab it at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. If you're feeling lost and like you're not quite sure what you want to do with your life, this guide will help you figure out exactly what your next step is in just under 10 minutes. You're not alone in this journey, and I'm excited to guide you through this process until you've truly created a life that you love. Go grab the guide at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. I look forward to helping you create your dream life.
It's such a like beautiful perspective. I think you're right. It's like sometimes we pigeonhole ourselves into a way of thinking. Like there's this one book. It's called The Quantum Leap, and it's like a 40-page book, but it's all about how do you make a quantum leap. And the initial story they have in the book is this story of this fly that's trying to go from inside a house to outside a house, and it, you know, is flying, and all of a sudden, boom, it bumps into like a wall. And it goes back and it goes twice as hard and it goes into the wall and it bump and it goes back and goes 4 times as hard. And eventually the fly hits the glass so hard that it dies. And then they zoom out the perspective. And what the fly didn't know is if it went 10 inches to the right, the screen door that it was trying to fly through, the glass door was actually opened, and it could have just flew through the door if it, yeah.
Perfect. That's the perfect story to accompany what I'm saying. And that's exactly what I was doing. I was the fly. And yeah. I felt like the fly. I felt like I was slamming my head against a fucking wall. And I was so tired and so exhausted. And I was like, why? And there was literally not just one door open, but there are so many doors that are open for us. And if we dare to break the rules, and I believe that as creators, as entrepreneurs, as people, we are here to break rules. If we dare to look around and rebel, there are so many open windows for us to fly through. We can pick which one we want.
Yeah.
And that's not to say the journey isn't going to be difficult, but there is so much space for us to take up there.
Yeah. So what, I know you're a big journaler. So what would be a good journal prompt for someone if they're saying, okay, I need to open my way of thinking. I need to see the multiple doors.
Idea.
Like, what would you say would be a good journal prompt for them to write some things down and explore this?
I would suggest to look at the rules that you're following in your life. So perhaps a good journaling prompt would be, what rules do I believe are in place for me to achieving my creative goals? And what rules could I break in order to achieve these goals? So I think, you know, we live in a society of rules. We live in a society of a lot of structure. So I would start looking at the structures that you're still partaking in, the rules that you're still partaking in, and look at how you can break them. And that doesn't mean you need to break them all. Like some rules, you know, can really benefit us, and some structure can really benefit us, but just start playing around with, you know, so for example, let's go back to the actor. The actor is a really interesting avenue of creativity because it's seen as very reliant on other people. It's seen as very reliant on Hollywood, you know, huge production companies picking you. So your rules might be, I need an agent. I need to get a casting, I need to win the casting. Then I need to, you know, be in the movie. The movie needs to do well. Then I can have creative success. But if we like, they're all the rules that you're having for yourself, right? So what if you don't need an agent? What if you can pick yourself? How can you put yourself out there in what way? What ways can you be seen without having someone who has picked you? So let's look at YouTube. Let's look at the internet. Like, let's look at physically being in spaces like in this world. Like, how could you break those rules? And then go further, like, okay, you know, even if you have an agent and then I get a gig, what if I, you know, don't get the casting gig? What if I made a YouTube channel about all of my failed casting, you know, things? Like, there's so many different ways you can take it.
True.
And I think the thing is that we are creatives. Like, we're so creative. Like, we're so imaginative. Like, this is what we're best at, reimagining the world. Like, we change the world. We're the creatives. We're the imaginative ones. So we are the best ones to break the rules and to write new, you know, magical ways of living. This is what we're here for. And this is a part of our job. And so that's what I'm going to encourage you to look at. What rules are you adhering to in your creative journey right now? And what rules could you break?
Love it. That's it's so cool. One of the other things that reminds me of, I have a mentor when I was first introduced to, you know, personal development and thinking and just like the way that your mind works and you can change your thoughts and like all these interesting things. And we used to do this one exercise where we would, you know, be in a room doing a workshop, and it was like, we'd ask everybody, hey, what's the most expensive thing you can own in like in today's world? And, you know, people are like, oh, you know, Rolls Royce, this, that, the other, like whatever it was. And, you know, at the end, what we'd share with everybody is like, the most expensive thing you can own in today's world is a closed mind. Right. And it's like, if you're closed in the sense of you think it has to be one way or it can only get done one way, it's like you are blocking yourself from unlocking that next level. So I think just what you said is so beautiful. I think anybody that feels stuck, regardless of you're creative or not, and you want to get to the next level, it's like, okay, what rules do I feel like I'm supposed to follow? What rules can I break? And just as you open up that way of thinking, it really is interesting that oftentimes there's multiple ways to get and create the life we want, but we do pigeonhole ourselves in a way of thinking. It's really interesting.
It's super interesting. I just want to quickly jump in here because I always forget to start off this conversation with this little caveat, is that when I speak about creatives, I'm talking about anyone who wants to create something with the intention to connect. I think that's kind of, I've adapted that from a Seth Godin quote because I loved it so much. Like so often humans are like, oh, I'm not creative. I'm like, do you have a desire to make something, anything, a business, anything, like create anything with the intention to connect with someone else? Like, to me, that is art and that is an artist. Like, so just in case anyone's like, oh, this podcast is not relevant. Like, it's super relevant.
Right.
It's for you.
It's listen, right? Open up your mind. So I know another thing that you do is you are a book doula. So you help people kind of go through that process. Obviously, you have multiple books. You've been through this process yourself. You have been through quite a journey with, you know, writing books and helping other people do it. And I'm curious if you could expand upon for us a little bit as far as what you do as a book doula, and then also just like, what are some of the biggest stuck points you see people hit when it comes to like writing a book? Because, you know, I think they say, and I'm totally going to butcher the stats, you probably know them much better, but it's like 1% of the world actually writes a book, and much more than that say they want to write a book. So it's like, it takes a lot to say like, oh, I want to write it. And then a handful of people write it. And then a handful of people actually finish it and then like publish it self or by a publisher. But if you could fill us in as far as like a little bit of what you do in there, and then where are some of the biggest things people get stuck and how they can maybe get through that.
So as a book doula, I don't help people write their books in a very practical sense. I'm not like looking at structure. I'm not looking at, you know, grammar or like what the book looks like. What I'm doing and what I felt like was really missing in the world of authors and creating these novels is I'm witnessing the authors through the resistance that comes with writing something as big as a book. And I think for authors, it does have some overlap with other creative fields, but writing a novel is just such a long form piece of art. And we come across so much resistance because it takes such a long time. And so I'm basically just supporting, witnessing, helping creators, authors, writers move through the resistances that comes with doing such a long form project. When you do commit to something as big as a novel, the stuff that comes up during it, the self-doubt, the procrastination, the perfectionism, the imposter syndrome, it's just, it's relentless and you need support through it. As you said, like so many people want to write a book, so much less actually dare to start. And then like the amount of people that finish is just so painfully small because the process is just huge. And so I'm there to make sure that this process is finished because we need your art. We need your way of viewing the world. No one views the world like you do. Like literally it's a completely unique perspective when you choose to write a book. We'll never see it replicated in the entire history of this universe. I need you to finish this book. The world needs you to finish this book. And too many people are abandoning it, you know, several chapters in. So it's my intention to support you to finish it so that we can witness you and see you, your unique perspective.
Love it.
So that's what I do. In terms of the most resistance, I'm going to go ahead and say perfectionism is probably the one that I see the most. I've written, I think it's like 7 or 8 books now. And the thing that stopped me having an easeful process at the beginning was perfectionism as well. And I think that's what I see in most of my clients. So I spent 6 years writing my first novel and I realized what I was doing wrong. I was just fucking around in the first, you know, every time I wrote something, I'd reread it. I'm like, okay, what is that right? Like I'm literally talking like sentence by sentence. Then I'd finish, you know, paragraph, I'd reread the paragraph. Well, it's not quite right. I finished the chapter. I'd be like, okay, well, now I've got to spend weeks and weeks looking at this chapter over and over again. It took 6 years. You know, it took fucking forever. The next book I wrote in 6 months, and it's because I let my art be shit. And I let this first draft be shit. I let the second draft be shit. And we as humans have such a difficult time giving ourselves permission to make crappy things. But it is so important. And it is the pathway. It is a stepping stone to profound and brilliant art. But too many of us are constantly cock blocking ourselves, constantly assessing, reassessing, oh, it's not quite right, I need to change it, without letting any sense of flow, without letting any sense of play. We need to write. And you will have heard this before if you're interested in writing books. You need to write a shitty first draft. And in my opinion, you need to write a shitty second, third, fourth draft as well. We need permission for it to be shit. So whenever I work with authors now, there's a no rereading rule for the first and second draft. Like, you cannot reread. You have to just keep going. You cannot go backwards. You just have to keep writing.
I love that.
For me, it is one of the most important and beautiful rules that I have with my clients, and the progress and the freedom that I see when they partake in this is freedom. Just so profound.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's freedom,
you
know, and then that inner critic that you were being hounded with because you're constantly giving them space at the table to talk, right? They're constantly like, that's not good enough. I don't like that. We need to change. Oh my God, this whole idea is shit. You know what? We should probably give up. You know, this narrative, we just don't give them the microphone anymore because we're just constantly creating and not reflecting. And this is something that we just not practiced at, really, because we're so used to micromanaging ourselves. We're so used to that critical voice. We're so used to making sure everything's perfect before we move on. But art requires crap. We require shittiness. This is such a mandatory part of the journey. And we need to sit with our egos and say, it is okay for us to have made not so good things. This is not the final journey.
Right.
We are on the path. You have to let this go. It's real ego work.
Love it. Yeah. I think perfectionism, it's one of the biggest things that can stop us, right? And it's like, even as we look at perfectionism underneath it, it's like a lot of the time there does sit that fear of judgment, that fear of failure, that fear of, you know, especially as a creative, it's like you're unveiling yourself, you know, basically as a naked person to the world and saying like, hey, here's this thing I created, but it's the expression of doing it that is really what frees you, right? Whether it's the best thing ever or not. And I love what you said. It's like, you have to be willing to take imperfect action rather than constraining yourself to saying it has to be perfect. Because if that's the case, it's like, you're never going to get there. One of the things I was taught.
You'll never get there.
You'll never get there. And one of the things I was taught at a really early age, I do a lot of speaking now. And one of the first things I was taught as I started doing public speaking, and it was so scary to me, is someone said a shitty plan today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow because tomorrow doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like allowing yourself to say, okay, what's my shitty plan today? And if I can create a shitty plan today, it's 10 million times better than the perfect plan tomorrow, because we all know that's never actually going to happen, right? And again, it gives yourself this freedom, really, of saying all right, I'm not going to judge myself. I'm just going to allow myself to do it. And if you don't judge yourself and you just allow yourself to do it, you're ahead of 99% of the world, because so many people are judging themselves.
That is a perfect way to explain it. Not perfect, but brilliant, because we're not believing in perfection here.
There you go.
You're ahead of the game. If you allow yourself, it's so ironic, but if you allow yourself to be messy and perfect, ironic. And you know, if you allow yourself to be exposed with your imperfections, you are a winner. You are ahead of literally most people.
Yeah.
You are going to be trailblazing. You're going to be the torchbearer. You're going to make profound impact. And I've never really articulated in that way before, but you're so right, Stu. If you allow yourself to be witnessing your imperfection, you are ahead of the game. You're going to make impact. Because so few people allow themselves to be witnessed in that way. And so if you want a way to really get ahead of people, if you're competitive, if you want that edge, get messy.
Yeah.
Make some fucking mistakes and let them be seen.
Yeah. I was on your Instagram earlier than this, just looking through some stuff, and there was a quote you put on there. You hold up your pieces of paper, and one of them says, and I'm going to probably butcher it a little bit, but it said, I just kept creating things and I just kept telling people about it.
And it's
like, man,
that's my creative journey.
And it's a beautiful journey, right? It's like, just keep doing it, keep allowing yourself to create, keep telling people about it. And it's like those little actions add up to one day where you go, man, I'm doing this now.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And I think what you were speaking about before, this is not just to do with, you know, writing a book. Like, we need imperfect actions, you know, imperfect plans today. We need, when we were talking about before, like, what action could I take if I feel lost, if I need direction right now as a creative? You will not find a perfect way to move forward. You will not find the perfect, you know, it's not going to reveal itself to you, and it's not going to be like, oh my God, this is it. This is exactly what I meant to do. You're going to have to, and I'm so proud of you for doing this because I know it's so hard, but you're going to have to take steps that don't feel quite right. And you're going to fuck it sometimes, and you're going to have to be like, that didn't work. So I'm going to have to go back and take another step. And again, by doing this, you are ahead of the game, and it's going to feel like you're failing at times. It's going to feel like you're, you know, running behind, but really what you're doing is you are ahead of the rest because you're daring to take action. And it's just wild to me how many people out there just refuse to take action because they're so afraid of fucking it. Whereas fucking it is really the road to success.
That's we need that quote on a wall somewhere. I love it. Well, Amy, you've been an absolute joy hanging out with us today. So much fun and just beautiful energy that you have and wisdom and all of that. And so I'm curious, if people want to see what you're up to, get more of you, hang out with you more, where's the best place for them to find you?
Of course. Thank you, Stu. So you can find me on Instagram. My handle is Inspired to Write. And that's where I tend to do most of my writing and sharing in that space. I also have a podcast called The Unpublished Podcast with my husband, who is also an author. And we just go dive deep into the creative journey there.
Yeah.
And then I have all my beautiful offerings. I have a journaling course. I have a We Need Your Art course that looks at perfectionism, procrastination, all that fun stuff that comes with leading a creative life. And you can find that on my website, which is amymcnee.com. And you spell my name AmiMcnee.
Love it. And we'll put all that in the show notes so it's real easy for people to find. And last question I have for you, we ask this to all our guests because we want to help people find direction, but do it through action, right? Which we've been talking about today. And so I'm curious, what would you say is one thing someone listening to this can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
All right. This one's a big one, even though it seems really small. But if you are a creator in any sense of the word, I'm going to ask you to go on your social media profiles. I'm going to ask you to change your bio to articulate what it is you're doing. So if you're writing right now, put in your bio writer. If you are painting right now, put in your bio painter. If you are a small business owner, put it in your fucking bio right now and start claiming who it is you are becoming. And you might have a lot of resistance to that. Oh, I'm not really a writer. I'm only writing like once a week. Put it in your bio right now. I don't want to hear that shit. Like, it's time to start claiming who it is you are, but also more importantly, who it is you are becoming. And I think claiming and self-anointing, as we were talking about before, like, if you are picking yourself and you are saying, this is who I am. So I'm going to ask you to go put it in your bio of all your socials and just, I know it's going to feel uncomfortable, but just sit with it because that is where you're going.
Amazing. Got to claim it. All right. Well, Amy, thank you so much for being here today. Massively appreciate you. Thank you for joining us all the way from Australia. and it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Stu. I'm so grateful.
Absolutely. Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on the Finding Direction podcast. Make sure you give yourself a pat on the back, give yourself a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul. I hope you enjoyed immensely that conversation with Amy McNee. What a beautiful energy and so many nuggets that you can not only hear today, but as always, go take and start to apply in your life. If you have not yet, I would love if you could take a moment and go to iTunes and leave us an honest review so I can make this show better for you every single week. Go there real quick and let us know, what's one nugget you got from this episode? What's one takeaway? What's one action item you can apply to your life? Or maybe just let us know, what do you want more of, less of? How can we make this a better experience for you so next time you come on here, you get even more impact and value from us? That is our goal every single week. That is my goal, to make sure that you have the best experience as you give us your time every single week to hang out with you and help you become better in your life. So thank you for hanging out with us this week. And until next time, we'll see you on the podcast.